the rowdies went there, they kicked the ball around. The rowdies went here, the rowdies went there, then they fall on the ground. Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are the pig in the grass.
Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, Sam Monjovi, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer Mr. Zero Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsford and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, the Rochester Lancers, and Western New York Flash, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Salen's Meat Products, Faber Homes, New Way Auto Parts, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Thanks for joining us this evening. I'm Sam Monjovi, and I'm covering the show again while main hosts Andrew Battisti and Joe Sirianni are on vacation. Tonight, we hope to have Western New York Flash player McCall Zerboni, on the show, and also Rhinos general manager Pat Erkley. Helping me out tonight is Rochester sports aficionado Brett Daly. Brett, thanks for joining us on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sam. Certainly, there's a lot of exciting things to talk about locally and internationally in soccer, so it should be a great show tonight.
You know, let's get to let's talk about our indoor MSL team, the Rochester Lancers, first. On Saturday, the Lancers beat Wichita 16-10. On Sunday, the Lancers lost to Missouri 13-11, which leaves Rochester in second place in the Eastern Division, a half a game ahead of Syracuse. Now, we know the top two teams in the division make the playoffs, so if the Lancers can keep second place, they'll play Baltimore in the divisional finals. And I believe the Lancers still have the head-to-head tiebreaker over Syracuse?
Yes, they do.
Is that right? Okay. So basically, they got that because we beat them more times than they beat us.
Exactly. We won the season series, so... Okay. And I really thought that the Lancers had a pretty solid weekend this weekend. They certainly bounced back pretty well from the Syracuse loss the previous weekend. They certainly had a strong win in Wichita, and even though they lost in Missouri, from what I caught, they certainly played very well. They held a lot of the play. I believe they outshot them 31-18. And all in all, it was a strong effort.
This is a wild league. I mean, what happened? We got beat by Syracuse, and then Norfolk beat Syracuse. Mm-hmm. We play Milwaukee, come back, kind of keep it close. Towards the end, unfortunately, couldn't pull it out. The Lancers have two games remaining at home. Thursday, they play February 23rd against Wichita, who they beat recently. And then Sunday, they play on the February 26th, they play Wichita again at home. Syracuse has three games remaining. They play February 22nd against Milwaukee. And then, which is going to be an interesting game, because how's Milwaukee going to be playing against Syracuse?
Yeah, because for anyone that didn't catch it, Milwaukee actually lost, believe it or not, to Norfolk
right
on Sunday. Yeah. Norfolk's actually won four of their last six at home, so suddenly Norfolk's looking decent, obviously too late, but it shows you that there really is some pretty good parity in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of like this too, that the league is so kind of unpredictable.
Well, now Norfolk's beaten Baltimore. They've beaten Milwaukee. I believe they have another upset in there, along with beating Rochester and Syracuse. So really, they've done pretty well lately.
So now, if Milwaukee beats Syracuse on Wednesday, then the Lancers can clinch a playoff spot when they play Wichita on Thursday.
Absolutely.
And
I'd caution anyone against thinking that the Wichita games will be easy, because they're in last place. Wichita really was in a pretty difficult division with Missouri and Milwaukee.
That's right.
And they've got a lot of firepower. Certainly Beasley, which many people may remember from MLS, is by far their leading scorer. And impressively, the Lancers held him to one goal last game. But he's certainly a force and someone they'll have to keep in check.
I don't know if you know offhand where Salas and Miller are in the scoring race for the league.
Yeah, I'm not positive on that.
I think
both had
two,
pretty good weekends.
Yeah. Now, the division finals, if the Rhinos make it, it's going to be during the weekend, I think, of the March Friday 9th to the 12th, Monday the 12th. It's a home-and-home format. Game 1's at the lower seed, Game 2's at the higher seed, and a mini-game after 2 if the series is tied. I don't know if that's set in stone. They might be able to change that. But basically what happens is that you want the advantage of having the second game, because if you lose away and then you win at home, then right after the second game, you get a mini game, which, and whoever wins the mini game, you know, is the winner. So you kind of, you know, you want that home field.
Although what's interesting about that is, even kind of making a Rhinos analogy, you know, usually you did want to host that second game, but if you go on the road and you get beaten pretty badly in that first game, suddenly the pressure's on the top seed to have to come back. So that's where things can get real interesting, and even if the Lancers have to go and host the first game, it could be advantageous.
All right, everybody, and I want to switch over to our first guest right now on the show. We have Western New York Flash player McCall Zerboni on to talk to us about the Western New York Flash returning to play in Rochester, New York this summer. Hi, McCall, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. I'm here with Brett Daly. He's helping us out with the show.
Hi, McCall.
Hey, hey.
Listen, I want to ask you something right off the bat that I didn't get to ask you when I saw you recently. What do you actually think about the WPS suspending play for this year?
Obviously, it was some really unfortunate news, and it hit like a boulder to the face. But, after taking some time to realize that, it happened for a reason, and I think it's a good thing to take this year and this summer for, you know, all the organizations to kind of get 2 feet on the ground and make some better moves and be ready for 2013. And we still have the WPSL Elite, so I'm not really too upset. As long as we have somewhere to play at a top level and, you know, be here in Rochester, we're going to have a lot of fun. So it's good.
What do you know about the WPSL Elite League?
I know there's going to be 8 teams, and it's going to be a very similar structure to the WPS. We'll all compete against each other. We have teams from FC Indiana all the way to the New England Mutiny. So we'll range across the United States in that fashion. We'll probably play about 16 games, each have about 8 home games, and very similar to the WPS, so it'll be good.
Okay.
McCall, what are you hearing from players in terms of the new league? Are they on board, even though it's maybe not officially sanctioned, you know, given the timing that the league has? Now, certainly it seems like the fact that this is sort of a best-case scenario coming out of kind of a negative situation, so it seems positive, but I was wondering if you're hearing anything from your teammates.
Yeah, I mean, I think the league's going to still have really top players in it. Everyone that still wants to play is looking for somewhere to go, and this is the next best thing. It's going to be a cumulative stage for all the WPS players. Obviously, some girls will be away with national team commitments and for the Olympics, so we're kind of competing with their time there, and they're not sure if they're going to commit to a club team for the year. They can focus on their competition there in London. But other than that, you know, all the remaining players, they're going to be dispersed throughout the 8 teams here in the WPSL Elite.
What are your expectations for yourself this year, McCall, with the Flash and in the new league?
That's a great question. Obviously, I don't want to stay the same or revert in any fashion. I always want to get better. So this is just another year for me to improve and me to train at the top level and play against the top other athletes here and just try to get better, you know. Even though the WPS isn't around, it's still a stage for me to perform and get better. And hopefully when the WPS comes back in 2013, it'll be a similar kind of thing. And one of my biggest goals is to get on the national team. So, you know, however I can do that, and I'll have a great environment here training every day with great players and great coaches.
And I'd also think this is a great opportunity for you really to take even more of a leadership role, given that there may be some players missing due to national team duties. You know, you certainly did that when players were away last year, and I think it'll be another opportunity for you to do the same this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. I think, the more years I play, my experience continues to grow, and I naturally step more and more into that leadership role. Then I'll be a 4-year pro now. So hopefully I can, you know, the rookies and other girls, this is their first go-around in a top-notch league. I could be a good leader for them and kind of show them the ropes and just make women's soccer here domestically that much better. As far as everyone that wants to be involved and everyone that is involved, you know, taking the notch up that much higher.
Yeah, you know, we're big fans of you here, McCall. And I remember me and Brett would we were watching a lot of the games together with my Uncle Joe Sirianni, probably your biggest fan in Rochester. And, you know, we were watching you play during the season, and, you know, you were starting some games. I think you were starting actually a lot of games. And it got to a point later in the season we saw you weren't starting as much, and I think we understood why. You know, it looked like there was a little different formation in some of the players that came back from the World Cup. But I remember we were watching the championship game, and you were warming up right in front of us, and we were waiting for them to put you in. And I got to tell you, I think you really gave a spark to the team when you came in. And I think you were part of the goal, I think, that was scored. And then you scored a one of the penalty kicks. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So that must have felt, I don't know, you must have been dying to get into the game.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for that, by the way. You know, sometimes that happens, especially in the professional game. Your role kind of changes. You know, one week you're starting, another week you're subbing in, or another week you're closing it out and scoring the, you know, the winning PK. You know, it's all up and down, and I think that persistence and the mentality is important, and hopefully I'm a good example and the rest of the players to maintain something like that. You know, obviously I always want to be a consistent starter and be in there for 90-plus minutes, but, you know, all I can really do is my best and do what's right for the team. So, you know, we won a championship. I have nothing to complain about.
Yeah, and the Flash were just so stacked last year, too. I mean, you look at someone like Maureen, who was a starter for the Brazilian national team, and she really didn't get a whole lot of playing time, which just speaks to the depth on the team last season.
Yeah, I just feel like there's so much competition. I mean, there's so much talent here in America and around the world, and, you know, the WPS and the WPSL Elite, we are, you know, we're a compilation of the greatest players around. So, you know, obviously every day is going to be competition to win a spot.
You know, McCall, I've been reading about some players going over to play, like, in Sweden, even in Russia, in Finland. How do those leagues, and the English league too, how do those leagues actually compare, do you think, to the WPS or the WPSL Elite League?
You know, that's a great question. I think they probably have different aspects to them. You know, whether it's their style of play or the coaching or the structure of the actual league. But I think it is a good thing for those girls to get out and go experience a different kind of style of soccer and coaching and then bring that back to the WPSL with them. You know, I think it's a great experience for them and just kind of adds a new element to their game. And I think it is important that those club teams and those countries are willing to sign loans or only do, you know, 1 month contracts, so they will be released to be able to come back this summer for the WPSL.
You know, because we know, like, with the men's situation here, they want to go play in Europe because it's a higher quality of play and the money is greater, too. But for the women, I've always assumed that the higher quality of play is here. So when they go over to overseas, I'm wondering, is there somebody with deep pockets there that's paying a little more?
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure. I haven't really dabbled in much of that, so I don't know. We don't really discuss that much. But I do know that... you know, obviously the U.S. women's national team is, you know, we're the best and we're one of the top competitors in the world. And so obviously, naturally, it'll trickle down to our domestic club teams here. And I think, you know, I can put my right hand and say that, you know, the best talent is here. And I think that's a fabulous thing for Americans to be able to say that and you know, for these young females to have the best players in the world in their backyard. And it works both ways. You know, the best players are playing here domestically on their club teams, and then they get plucked and go up to the national team. And the national team is so good that anyone that doesn't make that is, you know, playing the club teams here. And so it's just a good system that we have going on, and that's why I think it's so important to have a league here for the U.S. women.
What did you think about during the World Cup last year when Japan ended up defeating the U.S., do you think maybe the U.S. was a little overconfident, they took them lightly, or was Japan just kind of just like very scrappy and they came back and pulled it out?
Well, like those different elements I was talking about a minute ago, is Japan's very, very technical, very smart, very organized, and, you know, that maybe that is an element that we can take from them and put it to the U.S. side. I think the U.S. side were very physical and strong and, you know, maybe we need a little bit more technical work. I don't know. But I think it was good either way because it keeps us hungry and keeps us fresh and keeps us thinking that we need to make changes and keep on improving. You know, if we dominated all the time, won every Olympics, won every World Cup, there would be no challenge or expectation, you know. So
right.
I think now the girls are coming back even stronger for the Olympics should be pretty exciting in London.
Right, and the women are going first to the Algarve Cup pretty soon, February 29th, so next week they're playing Denmark and Norway and Japan. And then the Kirin Cup, am I saying that right? They play Japan and Brazil.
Yeah, all the girls left today for the Algarve Cup, so they're out there getting prepared and getting ready.
All right. Have you ever got invited to the national team camp or ever got spoken to by any of the coaches in the past?
Never. I played under 17 national team. That was the last time I saw of it. So I'm itching. I'm going to go get it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to write them a letter for you.
Thanks. We'll start a petition.
All right, McCall. We're going to let you go now. We're going to thank you so much for coming on the show, and we look forward to seeing you play this summer.
Yeah, thanks, McCall. Thank looking so forward much. To it.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for the support, and thanks for having me on.
Okay.
All righty.
Okay. Okay, everyone, we're going to take our first break, but we'll be right back with Dick Howard and then Rhino's GM Pat Erkley on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Hi, this is Doug Miller, and you're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 1040.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Reserve your seat to all 15 exciting Rochester Rhinos home matches at Salem Stadium in 2012. Bowl season packages start at just $99 per person. That's less than $7 a match. Can't make all 15 home games? A Rhinos Flex Pack allows you to attend the games that fit your schedule. 5-game Flex Packs start at only $60. The Rhinos have ticket packages for every family budget. Visit rhinosoccer.com or call 454-KICK to purchase your 2012 Rhinos tickets today.
Score big with Salins. Salins is proud to call Western New York home for over 140 years. Our premium quality deli meats and hot dogs are hometown favorites. Score big with your family and friends. Enjoy Salins' delicious real smokehouse ham or Salins' mouth-watering real turkey or chicken breast. Ask for Salins deli meats at your favorite meat or food store. The taste that beats them all. Salins, official sponsor of the WPS.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
The Rochester Lancers conclude the 2012 regular season with a pair of home matches against Wichita at the Blue Cross Arena. The Lancers will host the Wings on Thursday, February 23rd at 7 p.m. and again on Sunday, February 26th at 1 p.m. Get your tickets through Ticketmaster by visiting any Wegmans location or by calling the Lancers at 872-KICK. That's 872-KICK. Come support your Rochester Lancers all season at the Blue Cross Arena.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of both the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame and the 1970 Rochester Lancers NASL Championship Team, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
Welcome back, everybody, to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. We now have on the show Dick Howard with the international report. Dick's appearance is brought to you by our title sponsor, Top Notch Monogramming in Northfield Commons in Pittsburgh. Go there or give Tony Diuto a call at 248-2650. Hi, Dick, and welcome to the show.
Nice to chat to you, Sam.
You know, Dick, I watched some games over the weekend, and I watched the Arsenal game. And I want to ask you, what is going on with Arsenal?
Well, it's certainly a season not to remember for fans of Arsenal. They, you know, out of the FA Cup, 4-0 down the first leg in the game against Milan in the Champions League, and they're certainly not going to win the Premiership. But, you know, Arsene Wenger has done a tremendous job at Arsenal. He came on board in 1996, and they've finished in the top four every season since that time, which is quite remarkable. I think they've been in the Champions League 14 seasons in a row. So it's a tough season. Why? Well, I don't think they've got the goalkeeping that they've had in the past when they had a David Seaman. I think defensively, they would love to return to the era of Tony Adams and a no-nonsense defense. And, of course, getting rid of Cesc Fabregas and Sami Nasri at the start of the season didn't help matters. So it's a very young, inexperienced team, and they've had some very poor performances this season.
Now, I know some people have been talking about that Arsene Wenger should resign as coach, maybe go to an office position, and sometimes they talk about his spending a certain amount of money or not spending a certain amount of money on players.
Not spending it, yeah.
I think what a lot of people don't realize is that Arsene Wenger, isn't he actually like the kind of the accountant for the team itself too?
Well, he's very much the man in charge of everything that happens on and off the field at Arsenal. And as I mentioned, he's done a remarkable job. I think at the present time, you know, some of the young players he's brought up haven't been able to adapt as quickly, and he doesn't have that blend of youth and experience in the squad. And some of the performances this year have been very poor. And when you look at the fact that Thierry Henry comes in on loan and arguably is one of the best forwards since joining them from the New York Red Bull, I think says a lot about the current status of the club, because they're certainly having a very disappointing season. But I wouldn't, you know, knee-jerk reaction, yes, get rid of Wenger, but I wouldn't do that. I think, you know, you've got to give him chance to rebound back and sort of get back to where they were in previous years. And to say that record in the top four every season since 1996 is quite remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, I give him a lot of credit. What I'm wondering, too, is it possible that he's being outspent by other teams?
Yeah, I think they've got deeper pockets, haven't they? When you look at what's happened with Manchester City in particular, you know, even compared to Manchester United, the money that's been spent by Manchester City has been quite remarkable, and it's having its effect. Will it result in a Premiership title? Only time will tell, but it's certainly looking like a two-horse race at the moment with the boys in red and against the boys in blue.
Now, remind me, too, because I can't remember, but I believe it was Liverpool that was up for sale, where AEG was thinking about getting involved with them, and instead the Boston Red Sox group got involved. And when they asked AEG why they didn't get involved, they said that the market is just too volatile right now with too much money. And it almost reminds me of when the NASL Cosmos were just dominating and just outspending other teams, and the other teams trying to keep up with them. And, you know,
it's true, isn't it? When I think the great thing about MLS is that there is a budget, there are restrictions, and this would have affected a New York Cosmos, of course, in the good old days of the North American Soccer League. But you look at all the things that are happening with clubs, you know, having problems with payments, and no better example than you know, Glasgow Rangers. You know, who would have thought that a club, when they can get, I think there were over 50,000 attendance at a game at the weekend, they lost to Kilmarnock, were in the stadium, and they still, you know, going into administration, and there's going to be an independent inquiry by the Scottish Football Association.
Yeah.
How this can happen is just beyond me. You know, I think some of these people that take over clubs, if they ran their businesses, they run the club, there'd be bankruptcies right, left, and centre. That's what's happened with Rangers, that, you know, the ownership group that came in, unpaid tax bills, approximately $20 million, well, that's going to cause problems.
Yeah, and there's some economic volatility over in Europe right now, too, so depending on how that pans out, there
exactly.
could be additional economic pressure on some of these organizations.
Yeah, a good point. You know, you look at what's happening in Greece, in Italy, and who knows, and beyond. And again, another example, a club that I've admired, you know, in the 80s when I'd watched them play and Diego Maradona was playing in Careca, Napoli. You know, is a case in point. You know, they were bankrupt in 2004, relegated to Serie C, which is the third division in Italy, and then they come back to Serie A, and they've got a big game tomorrow against Chelsea, and it'll be a fabulous atmosphere in the San Paolo, and a very difficult game for Chelsea, and it's great to see a team like Napoli doing so well, and full credit to Walter Mazzarri and what he's done with the club.
You're right. Tomorrow is a big day. I want to let everybody know for they want to watch the games on television on Fox Soccer Channel, 12 o'clock noon, Real Madrid plays Moscow. And then at 2:30 p.m., also at Fox Soccer Channel, Napoli is playing Chelsea. I'm a big fan of the way that Napoli plays. I think they're a very, very exciting team.
They are, you know, I think the Cavani and company have done brilliantly. And as I say, looking back at that marvelous era with Diego and Careca in the 80s, I think it was, that happened. It's certainly happened again. But on their day, they play some exciting football. And it'll be a very difficult game for a Chelsea team that's been very inconsistent this season. You know, they tied against a team from the Championship in the FA Cup at the weekend. And they're not the Chelsea that we've known in recent years, that's for sure.
Why is that, Dick? I know Drogba's been out for a while. Is that part of the reason?
Sorry?
Is that part of the reason that Drogba has been out for a while?
Well, it's hard to read because you've got all the news reports, but I don't think everything is as it should be in the dressing room. There's talk of half-time in the game against Birmingham when they tied 1-1, the FA Cup game, that Drogba was the one that was making all the statements at halftime in the dressing room. And the word that's used so many times is a coach or a manager has lost the dressing room. In fact, you know, that this might be the case because Villas-Boas has got a tough time in his hands. He just needs some good results to get back on track. But he's got some high-profile and opinionated and strong-minded individuals in that dressing room when you look at the likes of a Drogba, a John Terry, Frank Lampard and company. So they need to get back on track with regards to certainly Champions League. And if they can get a good result tomorrow in Naples, then it's one way to do that.
Now, I know Mourinho, the coach of Real Madrid, was kind of voicing his concern about the cold conditions and the field conditions playing over in Moscow. Now, Moscow, they play, is it on a field turf?
Yeah, the Luzhniki Stadium is got that, and it's very cold, hard conditions, and CSKA Moscow have done very well utilizing those conditions. But again, Real Madrid are playing so well, and it would not surprise me if they came out with a result tomorrow because of the job that the great one has done. They've certainly been very impressive in La Liga this year, haven't they?
That's right. Dick, I'm going to ask you for your predictions for tomorrow's games.
Well, I think that Real Madrid, I don't think they'll lose. I don't know whether they'll win. It could be a tie. I think that Napoli might have the edge on Chelsea. The Inter-Marseille game is a very interesting one. Inter, very inconsistent. And Marseille are starting to make a run with regards to Ligue 1 in France, so I don't expect Inter to get a result there. And with the Bayern-Basel, I think Bayern might just have a little bit too much for a Basel team that impressed in the last round.
Mm-hmm. You know, also on Wednesday, let me throw this out to on Wednesday, February 22nd, Inter's playing Marseille at 2:30, also on Fox Soccer Channel. Later on in the day on Wednesday at 7 o'clock on Goal TV is going to be a Europa League game, Manchester City playing Porto. And, you know, Dick, I try to keep up with what everything means. I know if in your league you get in the top four, you make the Champions League. I think then 5 and 6, you go to the Europa League. But then if you win the Europa League, you make the Champions League. If you win the Cup.
Yeah. And I personally, I don't agree with this situation of teams, you know, when the group stage is finished in the Champions League, that you can then drop down to Europa League. I think if you don't make it and make the knockout stages in the Champions League, then that's it. Tough luck. So it would mean, obviously, a Manchester City and Manchester United wouldn't continue. But I personally don't agree with that philosophy that UEFA have put in with regards to that. I think that the Champions League is the creme de la creme. If you can't make it in that, then you don't have a second chance in the Europa League.
You know, before we let you go, Dick, I just want to talk to you real quick about Everton over in the English Premier League. They got Tim Howard over there, our American keeper, made 5 saves as Everton beat Blackpool 2-0 on Saturday, putting them into the quarterfinals for the FA Cup.
Nephew Tim's done very well, hasn't he?
Yeah, fantastic. Landon Donovan wasn't able to play. He had the flu, but he was Everton's player of the month. Came back to L.A. On Sunday, but he had 6 assists during his time there at Everton.
He's done tremendously well, you know, in his second loan spell at Everton. And David Moyes, the manager, is very high on Landon Donovan. So he's done exceptionally well. Tim Howard, nothing short of remarkable. I think, you know, he made a save late on in the game that was just superb. And he's done that all season. He did a very good season and was a great signing from Manchester United for Everton, and is very much the pride of Liverpool, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, Dick, I want to thank you again for coming on the show and all the great information.
It's great, guys. Good chatting to you, and let's keep our fingers crossed for the Lancers in the playoffs.
Yes,
get to absolutely. The playoffs.
Okay, take care.
Okay, guys. You. Bye for now.
Okay, everyone, we're going to go on another break, and we'll be right back with Rochester Rhinos GM Pat Erkley on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Hello, I'm Tony DiCicco. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, and I'm listening here to WYSL.
Proudly conservative. You're listening to the new home of Michael Savage, 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, WYSL, Avon, Rochester.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Reserve your seat to all 15 exciting Rochester Rhinos home matches at Salem Stadium in 2012. Bowl season packages start at just $99 per person. That's less than $7 a match. Can't make all 15 home games? A Rhinos Flex Pack allows you to attend the games that fit your schedule. 5-game Flex Packs start at only $60. The Rhinos have ticket packages for every family budget. Visit rhinosoccer.com or call 454-KICK to purchase your 2012 Rhinos tickets today.
Are you ready to stop paying rent? You can't afford to build a new home. Why buy an existing house with someone else's problems when a new construction Faber home will be built to suit your style and your needs? On average, people purchasing an existing house spend an additional 10 to 15% above the purchase price in the first year, trying to make someone else's house feel like their home. Visit a Faber Homes model today at Berkshire Park in Henrietta, and coming soon, Regency Park in Greece. Give Faber Homes a call today at 359-4800. Or visit FaberHomes.com for homes starting at $139,900. Faber Homes. Great homes, great price.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's The Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Ravens, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
Score big with Salins! Salins is proud to call Western New York home for over 140 years. Our premium quality deli meats and hot dogs are hometown favorites. Score big with your family and friends. Enjoy Salins' delicious real smokehouse ham or Salins' mouth-watering real turkey or chicken breast. Ask for Salins deli meats at your favorite meat or food store. The taste that beats them all. Salins, official sponsor of the WPS.
The Rochester Lancers conclude the 2012 regular season with a pair of home matches against Wichita at the Blue Cross Arena. The Lancers will host the Wings on Thursday, February 23rd at 7 p.m. and again on Sunday, February 26th at 1 p.m. Get your tickets through Ticketmaster by visiting any Wegmans location or by calling the Lancers at 872-KICK. That's 872-KICK. Come support your Rochester Lancers all season at the Blue Cross Arena.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. I'm Sam Majovi here with Brett Daly. And right now on the show, we have Rochester Rhinos GM Pat Erkley. Hi, Pat, and welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Pat.
Thanks for having me.
Pat, I went on the internet a little bit before, just double-checking when the season starts for the Rhinos, and I see that you start off with a road trip going out to L.A., around April 12th and 20th?
Yeah, it's the 15th, I think, is the maybe the Saturday of that weekend. And then the following weekend, we're actually in L.A. again. So we're staying out there for a week. So it'll be sort of a preseason for us, but we also get the opportunity to play a solid team two times in a row. So that should be a difficult road trip for us.
Yeah, and that's what I was actually going to ask you, if there was a nice kind of plan you made that you can enjoy some a little bit of sun and a little bit of warmth.
Well, it was planned in essence. I mean, most of these teams like L.A. and Antigua being so far away from the bulk of the teams tend to end up playing weekends where they play a Friday-Sunday game. So we figured we'd help them out by doing two weekends. Might help for help them increase their attendance over the two weekends.
Well, I'd be very happy if I was playing with the Rhinos and I found out that I was leaving the cold weather to go to L.A. for a week. I'd be pretty happy myself. So
I don't know. There's not too much complaining about this weather. I tell you, I was driving back from Albany today, and the sun was out. It was fantastic. I don't know too many people that are complaining.
Any changes this year with the league itself, the USL? It looked to me like the roster of teams is pretty much unchanged. Any changes with playoff format, anything along those lines? Or
well, just that six teams will be making the playoffs, so okay. Obviously it brings a lot more focus on, you know, getting out of the gates quickly, and really gives there's so much parity in the league this year that I think the teams that didn't qualify have a better shot to maybe upset some teams this year. So it should be more difficult. And in regards to the beginning, there's so much more importance to getting off to a good start at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, the USL Pro, it's a single table division this year. And I'll just go really quick down the teams. Antigua, Charleston, Charlotte, Dayton, Harrisburg, LA, Orlando City, Pittsburgh, Richmond, Wilmington, and Rochester. And we're going to ask you a little bit, because we saw you guys sign a couple of forwards. You signed Tim McManus, a veteran of the Scottish Premier League and MLS, and Graciano Brito, who played with FC New York last year. Is this a sign that there's a different style of play coming with new coach Jesse Myers, or was it just a need for those positions?
Well, I think, and we still have like four or five announcements that still have to be made. The league has gone through a new process in regards to making announcements, especially with foreign players. And I think it's a good change because it basically puts importance on getting immigration documents before you do any announcements. So in addition to those players, we have four other foreign players that are sitting there ready. Actually, I want to say, four other foreign players that we have to announce.
Okay.
So the one thing that I like about it is that there's going to be more of a foreign flavor to the team, which wasn't necessarily the case maybe over the last few years. I'm kind of excited to see how they kind of mesh together. And I think it's maybe going back to the type of style that we had when I was coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be interesting.
That'd be fantastic, yeah.
I think once we get the opportunity to announce the players that we're talking about, I think a lot of the fan base that used to come to Frontier will actually look at it and say, you know what, there might be something new about this team. And I got to admit, I mean, over the years, you know, when you're doing it 17 years now, that you do get a little stale at times.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it should be an interesting mix this year. And Jesse's done a great job of uncovering these fine gems that are out there.
Yeah.
Because they're more difficult to get nowadays with MLS having 20 teams. And even our league having 11. So once you're going after this foreign talent, from a cost standpoint, it becomes that much more difficult to try to get a talent like quite a few of the players he signed.
And I know we talked about before with Jesse Myers coming on board that maybe he had some more context or was able to kind of a better scope of players. And with yourself, with your experience, has it been a good a team effort between the two of you looking for players, signing players?
Yeah, I think basically, like I said, it's a mix of foreign players that, when you look at the Lennon Steen camps of the past, they played in the U.S., but essentially came from foreign countries. And, I mean, some of those players that have tried out with MLS that are on the fringe of maybe being picked by MLS, but because of their limitations in regards to the amount of foreigners they can have on the field, haven't necessarily been picked. But between Jesse and I being able to keep a handle through our contacts in MLS, through our foreign contacts in regards to who's out there that wants that opportunity to showcase themselves a little bit more for the MLS to take notice. Those are the types of players that we've gone after because, you know, those are the types of players that aren't necessarily in their 30s, but more so in their 20s, early 20s. Granted, McManus is a little older, but he was a player that played in MLS and feels that he can come here and still produce and show that he has the ability to play at that level. Those are the types of players we wanted to get. We wanted to get those types of players that were going to bring flair to the game, and were also players that were hungry enough to want to come here and prove themselves.
And I actually wanted to talk a little bit more about McManus. I know that the Rhinos organization posted a nice YouTube clip when he was signed, which showed some impressive goals that he scored in the Scottish Premier League, and he certainly has a number of goals with Colorado. And it certainly seems like he's a pretty natural leader, at least from what I've read about him. So I'm assuming that might be a bit of his role anyway, as he takes his position as a striker. And I just wanted to see if you could elaborate on that at all and just see if that's a correct assumption.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that was one of the criteria we looked at. I think over the last few years, although we've had a very successful team, I think we would all agree, and even Bob would even say that over because of last year's team, that we lacked a little bit of leadership on the field, the type of leadership that Lennon brought to the team. Being from Scotland, having that history and experience at that high level and playing in the MLS, he's the type of player that's going to come in here, and basically lead by example, but also lead in the locker room, which is a key integral part to being a successful team. Granted, he does have a very thick Scottish accent, so, I mean, it'll take some time for them to understand what the heck he's saying. I think with time, they'll figure it out.
And while McManus is older, he's certainly not finishing up his career by any stretch. I think he's around 30 years old, if I recall correctly, so he's got many years left.
Yeah, and then when you look at the teams that I had, we had a good nucleus of players that were in that. We weren't necessarily a young team. We were in that 28 to 31 bracket for the most part. And through that, obviously, we had a lot of experience and a lot of leadership on the team.
Pat, I was going to ask you what your expectations for the team is this year. I can imagine what you're going to say, but I also want to let everybody know that the U.S. Open Cup, where the USL teams enter on May 22nd on the second round. So that gives you guys a good month and a half before you jump into the Open Cup. And I want to ask, is the Open Cup going to be another milestone for you guys this year?
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, it's always a goal of ours to get back to the level that we were at where we bring some championships back to the Rochester market. But on the same token, we want to bring that type of exciting team, that type of team where people are inquisitive of, oh, okay, who's that player? Who's this coming in? And I think with the foreign flavor that we have coming in, I think a lot of people are going to do that. You know, we have a Bundesliga player that we signed. We just can't announce it at this point. But I think when you bring those types of players in, it creates that curiosity. Not quite like Iverson, but definitely somebody that knows how to play soccer.
You know, you're the GM of the Rhinos Pap, but you're also the GM of the stadium. And, you know, you kind of help out with the scheduling. I just want to ask you, what do you think about the WPS suspending play for a year, leaving the Flash to play in the WPSL Elite League this year?
Well, certainly, you know, it'll be interesting to see the type of teams that they field. I think, you know, they basically feel this is an interim type of year for them where they get the opportunity to maybe bring in some international teams and maybe have somewhat of an interleague season in regards to several teams that were from the WPS. So I think considering where they were several months ago and where they are today, it's a great thing for us to still have women's soccer at a high level in the Rochester market. Whether the players that were here last year will all be here throughout the course of the season remains to be seen. I mean, it's kind of difficult because of the Olympics this year. Not necessarily being the highest, well, at least not viewed as a WPS at this point. Remains to be seen what commitment the women actually make to the league. I think that's the thing that needs to be reviewed. Because to me, when the MLS was put in place, you know, they had several shortfalls throughout the course of history in regards to the MPSL and, you know, other leagues that they tried to form. And when they did get to the MLS, they did it the right way. I mean, it was a single entity, and they had some difficulties at the beginning, but then they sorted those things out, and, you know, they were able to bring in their own stadiums, which helped them now flourish. And I think that's something that the WPS has to look at, and maybe the MLS and U.S. Soccer need to look at that as well, and I think they may have in regards to looking at the stadiums that MLS have and how can they integrate the Women's League and stadiums like ours, the Women's League, where there's other revenue sources and there's other things that could help that league flourish.
Yeah, I hope something works out, too. We had a Jerry Zanelli on last week, and he's the commissioner of the WPSL, and you know, he was talking about next year the league was going to branch out into the West Coast. It's going to right this year. It's more of a pro-am. Hopefully next year it's more like on a pro level consistently. So you know, it's however that works out. If WPS comes back and the WPSL Pro is there underneath, you know. But I think you're right with the structure itself. You know, how is the league going to survive outside of kind of the wild card they had this year with Dan Boreslaw with Magic Jack?
Yeah, I think it's just about building something that's sustainable over the long term in terms of the cost structure and also in terms of travel.
Yeah.
I mean, for us, you know, as an organization, having the stadium itself, I mean, you're finding that with MLS as well. I mean, we formed this alliance for concerts that essentially encompasses seven MLS teams and ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at LA Galaxy, they're owned by AEG, which is a big powerhouse in the concert industry and entertainment industry. You know, and if you can form alliances with these groups, then it gives you an opportunity to have other events in a building that helps sustain your overall business plan. Mm-hmm. And in our case, you know, the Rhinos are a part of that, the Rattlers, women's soccer. You know, so now we're looking at concerts. I mean, for us to be able to sustain as an organization, as a company for the long term, you need to look at those avenues, because you're going to have your ups and downs in professional sports. And when you have your downs and you're not as entertaining, or you don't have the quality players that you normally have, and you're not at the top of the tables, you lose attendance. And during those times, you have to struggle.
Right.
And we've seen it with all sports. I mean, you see it with the Bills.
Right.
You see it with the Sabres. So, I mean, for us, bringing in some good concerts and sustaining yourself as an organization over the long haul, not necessarily being high and at the high times and, you know, doing well, but then being low, you try to bring it even in the middle. And with other things in your venue, obviously it helps. And it helps with your community as well. I mean, we're doing other events that we feel make us an integral part of this community, and it's not just about the Rhinos. But, you know, as well as I do, that's why that building was built, and we certainly would like to see the Rhinos back at the level that they were when we were at Frontier.
Well, we're very excited about a lot of things you said about the team itself, and we're glad to see the women's team coming back. Pat, we want to thank you so much for being on the show. Look very forward to the Rhino season this year, and we hope to have you again on soon.
I appreciate it. Look forward to it, and look forward to an exciting season. I think the fans will be entertained, and they'll appreciate what we've done to the team this year.
Great.
Yeah, thanks, Pat. Looking forward to it.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, everyone, we're going on our last break, and we'll be right back with Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Hi, this is Abby Wambach. You're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL.
Girl, I want to be with you all of the time.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
New Way Auto Parts, your locally owned and operated full-service auto parts store, has serviced Rochester area consumers for over 50 years. New Way stocks a full line of AC Delco and Motorcraft parts, along with Wix filters, Monroe shocks and struts, Walker exhausts, and Timken bearings. Six locations in the Rochester area, including in the city, Irondequoit, Greece, Gates, Henrietta, and Farmington. Go to HahnAuto.com or the Frontier pages for more information, addresses, and phone numbers. That's HAHNAuto.com for New Way Auto Parts.
Do you ever count people talking on their cell phones while driving? It's pretty scary. But what about scary behavior you can't see? A recent study says that 1 in 7 drivers doesn't have car insurance. If one hits you, are you covered? Don't hope so. Know so. Call an Allstate agent today for a free good hands coverage checkup. Are you in good hands?
Call Fairport Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo today at 244-2130. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Reserve your seat to all 15 exciting Rochester Rhinos home matches at Salem Stadium in 2012. Bowl season packages start at just $99 per person. That's less than $7 a match. Can't make all 15 home games? A Rhinos Flex Pack allows you to attend the games that fit your schedule. 5-game Flex Packs start at only $60. The Rhinos have ticket packages for every family budget. Visit rhinosoccer.com or call 454-KICK to purchase your 2012 Rhinos tickets today.
Kusha Kuj, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but bacon.
babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at Salvatores.com and our hotline, 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatores.com.
The Rochester Lancers conclude the 2012 regular season with a pair of home matches against Wichita at the Blue Cross Arena. The Lancers will host the Wings on Thursday, February 23rd at 7 p.m. and again on Sunday, February 26th at 1 p.m. Get your tickets through Ticketmaster by visiting any Wegmans location or by calling the Lancers at 872-KICK. That's 872-KICK. Come support your Rochester Lancers all season at the Blue Cross Arena.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. I'm Sam Monjovi here with Brett Daly, covering for Joe Suriani and Andrew Battisti while they're in Florida and Hawaii vacationing. And Andrew will be back next week. Be good to have Andrew back, and Joe will be back in a couple of months. Brett, before we started the show, I went online and I just wanted to see what's going on with the WPS. I was going to talk to maybe Pat Erkley or McCall Zerboni about this, but I decided, you know, it's a little too in-depth at the time because they probably didn't have time to look at themselves. But there was a release by a journalist by the name of Bo Duer. I hope I am saying his name right, that the WPS is filing for a summary judgment, which means I think that they want the judge to make a decision now. And what they're saying, and I just want you to hear Barislav's reaction to their petition. So the WPS says that the league suspension of the 2012 season should permit the parties to complete the dispute resolution and fully determine the propriety of the league's termination of play in its franchise before a league play resumes in the 2013 season, which pretty much they're saying, judge, please rule in our favor, that Magic Jack would be excluded from the league, and also that we wouldn't be bound to have to play them in an exhibition schedule. Because what I think happened is that the agreement they came to with Barislav, the owner of Magic Jack, was Barislav said, okay, you know what? I'm not in the league, but I'm going to have an exhibition team with Wambach, Solo, Rapino, all those players, and we're going to play during your league season. We're going to play some games against you, and it should be a really big moneymaker. What I'm thinking, and if I was part of the WPS, I would say, you know what? I think that's going to take away from the league itself and diminish the league. What do you think about that?
I agree with you, Sal, and I really think it's a situation where they need to cut ties with him. Certainly one of his players made some statements about him that were pretty negative, and if there's any truth to that, then the WPS is certainly more than justified to try to kind of separate themselves in a significant way so they can kind of go off and do their own thing.
Here's Barislav's reaction that he put out today. He said, this whole thing is over, and they can stop spending any money or resources simply by following out on the agreed-upon terms of the deal read into the record. For the most part, all they have to do now, only if they have teams next year than WPS, is to play us a few exhibition games and stop disparaging me. This appears to me an opportunity to make money. Why wouldn't they follow through on such a good deal for them?
It's interesting. He's certainly a little more modest than he has been in some of his past comments, I'd say, right there. And he's certainly dealt with a lot of bad PR because certain people certainly feel that he at least played a role in the WPS having to cease operations, at least for this season. And then obviously what one of his players stated also hurt him from a PR standpoint. And it's interesting to see that he's a little more modest in his comments right there.
All right, everyone. The time has come to end the show. This has been Sam Monjovi with Bob D'Angelo at the WYSL Controls. Thanks again, Brett, for joining me.
Thanks, Sam.
Be with us again next Monday at 6:30 for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Good night, everyone.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Top Notch Monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, the Rochester Lancers, and Western New York Flash, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Salen's Meat Products, Faber Homes, New Way Auto Parts, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.